empty. That's something we want to talk about for a moment. You know, there are two Greek words that I think I just want to introduce. You don't have to memorize them. Is kenos and kenoa. Kenoa means to make empty, and kenos is empty. You know, many of you driving long trips know what that means with gas tanks and fuel, the price it is. But what we want to talk about, the etymology of this word is hollow. Have you ever met somebody that's just hollow? They're empty. There's nothing there. Okay. Spiritually speaking, they just have nothing going for them. And to make empty is even worse than that, as that word is used, kenoua, in the Greek when Christ would warn you, and many times translated vain in the English, to make vain, to just make it empty, meaning to, if somebody has a little something, they'll take it away from you. With lies, with misleading, with deception, we were always warned about that. And that's how do you avoid that? Well, you stick to God's word. Not man's, not this man or any other man. But God's word. He sent you the letter. He taught you how to understand if you prayed properly. And gave you the knowledge and wisdom to discern with common sense what's right and what's wrong. So, therefore, we're gonna take those words. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're gonna pick it up in verse 6. The very next chapter after this is what describes the gospel armor that you're supposed to have on at all times. This kind of prepares you for that, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, and it reads, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." That's kenoa. That's to say, to make empty. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." You listen to junk, and guess what you're going to have? Junk. You listen to untruths, guess what you're going to have? Untruths. Therefore, it is ever important. And I notice there it said the wrath of God, this builds his wrath. He's not happy with it. Why? Well, would you be happy if somebody was misleading your children? Leading them right out into the junk pile? I don't think so. And your Heavenly Father doesn't appreciate it either. Therefore, he looks for people that will listen. Listen to the truth and be stable. That is to say, not be like a reed blowing in the wind. To listen to this person 5 minutes and that person a half hour, but never going to the Word of God. Therefore, never knowing what God has to say. And listen, he's the judge. He's the one that gives us the orders and the commands, and it's his wrath is coming, and you had better... You know, he's not angry at those that love him and follow him. You know something? He loves us. And he protects us. He blesses us. And therefore, you got it all going your way. And that makes it real nice. Don't let some man deceive you with empty words or words that make empty. Do you know what they'll do? They'll make religions out of about anything. Whether you laugh or cry or stand up or fall down or dance or skip or hop or whatever. We'll make a religion out of anything. But never quite getting to the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what God has to say. You know, he's the one we want to please. He created these bodies and he knows what makes them function. He knows what keeps them healthy. He knows what keeps your mind sound. He knows what brings peace of mind. He does. His Spirit, his Word. So don't let someone make you hollow. You know, you have a lot of healthy trees, but an old hollow tree, every varmint and in the world hunts it out and gets in it. Okay? Good for nothing. Let a storm come along, it's the first thing it goes. So it is with people that are hollow. and very shallow. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. I mean, you don't have to be rude, but just blot them out, shut them out. You don't have to listen to junk, okay? For ye were sometimes darkness, or you were a little bit on the blind side spiritually, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. What do children of light walk like? Well, if you're light, you emit light. In other words, you dispel emptiness. You can't help it. Your smile, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, touches people. They want that. They're hungry for it. Therefore, when you walk, that light shines forth. And they can see that peace of mind in you. Why? Because you've got the light. You're not empty. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So therefore, you test the fruit. Many times the parable comes to mind when I read that verse of God planting a vineyard. And he lets us know in another parable that we're the vine. And that Christ, rather, is the vine and we're the branches. And God does the pruning. Okay, whack, whack. And I can't help but think how many times he planted a vineyard and he sent people together to collect his part of the fruit. And they beat those he sent and sent them away empty. In other words, they hadn't gained any fruit. They were not only canoes, but they made empty canoa. And sent them back away. Why? They didn't have any fruit to share. They hadn't taken the word of God, that's what his vineyard is, and taught it and led with it, but they like to practice holy stuff. Okay. Only what some people call holy is not so holy. Okay. Or maybe it is full of holes. Okay. Maybe it's hollow. But you got to have his word. So when he gives knowledge and wisdom, he expects something in return. He expects fruit. And by that I mean he expects your smile and your personality and your very being to draw people to you, that you can share that light, that you can share that truth and change lives. You know, you don't have to be a walking billboard. People can tell by your countenance, you know, exactly what you're like, you know. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is that important to you? Not what's acceptable to man, but what's acceptable to our Father. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means expose them. Let it be known. If they're around your friends, make it known to that friend. Don't let them go down the chute. Don't let them become empty. You know, when you see a person that is beginning to wane, and the real truth is literally draining out of them, as they fill themselves with the deceit of men, it's a shame. It's sad when you see someone going into that darkness and letting go and drifting, and that's when you begin to pray for them. That's when you want to help them if you can. Sometimes it's not possible. You have to turn it over to the Father. He can handle it. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. They were perverted from the very beginning, even in the first earth age, as it is written in Romans chapter 1. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When it is that light and that truth, that goodness, that comes forth and dispels that darkness. and brings peace of mind into your life, which is to say the Word of God, Christ, which is the light that you reflect. And do you know something? You might say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Hey, when He gets through touching you and people see that countenance, that glow, that personality, they're going to know. You know, you can discern a great deal if you have spiritual discernment. You know, usually if you see when a murderer is captured and you see looking right in the face, you see that evil. They're just evil people, most often, that do that sort of thing. And I'm thinking roughly what happened yesterday in Florida. Okay, many of you may or may not be familiar with that. But there are evil people in this world. They're empty, have no conscience, and God is not with them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make... Okay, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, if you're spiritually asleep or spiritually dead, if you like, you're hollow, you're empty, awake and let Christ come into your life and be filled with that presence. 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, that's carefully, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, if you're going to reprove or correct somebody else, you want to be real careful how you walk. Got it? I'll say it again. If you're going to go around correcting people, be careful how you walk. Okay. The light is a very careful thing. See then that you walk circumspect. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make good the time. Don't waste time. Make good that time, okay? And wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you seek your will, or do you seek the Lord's will? I'm going to tell you something. If you truly love Him, and if you really trust Him, and you know that He has your best interest at heart, you want to seek His will, not yours. That's why when you pray, you want to pray, Father, if it's your will, because He can keep you out of a mess of trouble by answering prayers or not answering prayers. Why? Because He loves you. Therefore, always, always seek His will, and His will be done. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit, and so it is. When you're filled with that Spirit, you're not empty. You're not running on empty. And I'm going to tell you something else. No man can make you empty. Why? Because you're not going to turn loose of the truth. It's too precious. It's too accommodating from our Heavenly Father. Hey, you want to throw away God's blessings? Then run on empty. But you've got to have God's blessings, or if you don't, if you're not a believer, I can tell you right now, you live one miserable life. Well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. Don't give me that. You either believe or you don't, period. Okay? There's no such thing as being part believer. That's a non-believer. Okay? And you're not going to have God's blessings, and you're going to be one miserable person. Why? Well, because He's not going to take the lumps out of the road for you. Well, I really don't quite believe that. Then, hey, have a good trip. Okay. Go for it, friend. Go for the ring. But I'll take God's blessings. I'll take the light, and I'll run on full, as nearly as full as I can, and let you run on empty if you choose that path, okay? That's one thing. God is so good to us. He lets everybody make up their own mind, okay? And that's really something. Let you make your own mind up whether you want it good or you want it bad. Most people are intelligent. They know which one to choose, okay? Okay, let's turn right on over to the next book, Philippians. We're going to pick it up in chapter 2. Let's try verse 5. Okay. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, can you do that? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? He was Emmanuel, God with us. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He, like habits, and I mean, like everything, to show us what? How to do it, how to accomplish, how to get it done. He didn't feel he was better than anyone else. He was God with us, Emmanuel. And being a servant, he washed the feet of the disciples. Meaning when you walk on this earth, when you live on this earth, you're going to get dirty. Okay? But he can cleanse you. He can wash you. That's why he takes on the form of a servant, though he is God. And with that comes forgiveness in his will. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even further, think of that. Even the death of the cross. That's a criminal's death. Okay. But he did that for you. Now that's humbling himself. That's our Father. Okay. Emmanuel, God with us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He's Savior, okay? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know when that is. That's a time trigger for you. It's the first day of the millennium. And it's going to happen. Every knee is going to bow. How much better it is now to let him know you love him. How much better it is now to wake from that sleep and live in and with him. And so it is. 11, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And of course, again, millennium. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there you have it. How do you work it out? By loving him. By talking with him. By being in him. And following him. Verse 13, let's go to it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God created you for his pleasure. Not somebody else's, for his. As well as you being a blessing to others. 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Don't gripe about serving God. Okay? It's a pleasure to be able to serve him. You're privileged. And if you, well, it's just the hardest thing in the world to be a Christian. Well, you're not really a Christian. And I can just tell you that coming out the gate. Okay? Because if you were truly one, you'd be happy with it. Well, it's just hard. Well, hey, they crucified him. They nailed him to the cross when he was helping you. And you're probably murmuring because you don't want to help somebody that's ratchet jawing you. Okay? There's ratchet jaws in this world. Did you know that? And you have to be patient with them. You have to put up with it, you know, and not be one of these, I mean, it's picky, 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 you know. And that happened to me, and we were doing a I'm going to interrupt my whole thing to share something with you. We were in Las Cruces, New Mexico, doing a documentary back in the... We landed kind of late, and we all loaded and just rented our rooms and took off, okay? And when we came back, we unloaded our stuff, and I went up to my room, and it's about 10 o'clock at night. There wasn't a sheet on the bed. There wasn't a pillowcase, or I don't think there was even a pillow. It was stripped. And I thought, goodness gracious. So I went down to the front office, and I told, they called me a VIP there because we spend so much time and rent so many rooms. And I told them, I said, hey, something wrong up at my room. I don't have any sheets. I don't have any pillow slips. I don't have any towels. And there was an old truck driver signing in, and he says, picky, picky, picky. I took a deep breath, and I thought, well, you know, that's true. So it doesn't really do any good to murmur. They gave me a key to another room, and I was happy, okay? But I'll never forget that old truck driver. Picky, picky, picky. He'd probably had a harder day than we had. Don't murmur or complain, okay? Just, hey, God makes it like it is, and we can cut it. We're can-do type people. 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. You're His children is what that means. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Boy, are we ever in a crooked and a perverse generation. Look around you. Look at what happens and think about it. And know how much God depends on you. Not to be empty or not to make empty, but to be a light. 16, here's why we came here. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. That it wasn't empty. Okay, that's what this word vain is kinoa. I haven't made you empty, and I didn't run empty. Neither labored in vain. And there again, the word vain, empty. Don't ever be empty, my friend. Let your life amount to something. It's important. It's important to your Father. From that comes blessings. Paul says the whole thing, my coming there to you Philippians, it would have been a waste. Empty. Nothing to show for it. But I've got you. The light. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. In other words, it would have been worth it. If it cost me my life, it would still have been worth it. One more verse. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. And so it is. So, our Father wants you to be full. Okay? And don't send anyone away empty-handed if you can help it. In other words, always protect your credibility. Understand what I'm talking about. Your very presence, if you're in the light, reflects. That's all you have to worry about. Makes a good impression. Makes people feel good. Do you know something? They long for what you have. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that you are full, that you're full of joy, knowledge, and wisdom, and understanding of what tomorrow brings, well taught in the mystery of God, that is to say, what happened in the garden, and what has happened with those that came from that garden down through generations, the Kenite today, that's part of the mystery of God from the foundations of the world. That is the conflict. It's between, and the controversy is between Satan and between all, and with Almighty God. That you know and that you understand and that you follow Him. Let's go right on over to the next book, Colossians. Chapter 2 was doing pretty good. Let's stick with it. Let's hang in there with chapter 2. And I'll pick it up with verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. This is the chapter you want to read. We're not going to cover all of it, but this is the chapter you want to read, knowing what was nailed to the cross when Christ was crucified. The day of the week, the year, all those things, because he became those things. The very Passover itself, he became our Passover. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great of conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, that's to say justice of the people, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I really have a deep concern to that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. That's from the foundations of the world. And of the Father and of Christ, how it all fits together. It's important. Jesus told you in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower concerning the tares. What about the tares? Well, it's been kept secret since the foundation of the earth that the devil planted that wicked seed and you got them with you. Okay? Those are Christ's words, not mine. But you know that mystery and you know how to protect yourself from it. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In those mysteries, you have the it is a treasure. It's the, one of the greatest treasures you can have is to have the truth, to know the truth, to know what happened in the garden, to know what transpired after that, to know what the future brings, to know and to understand the events that consummate the end of this age. That's a treasure. Of knowledge and wisdom. For, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, that you should be seduced with lies and false teaching. You know, many might say, well, how could you be deceived in church with Bible? Well, what, let me ask you a question. What did Satan try to deceive Christ with in the wilderness? Scripture. Church. Okay. And you know something? Satan was good at it. There's just one problem. He twisted everything and made a lie out of it before it was over with, if you were sharp enough to catch it. Some people aren't, and that's bad. That's why you want to stick with your Father's word, not men's enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. I can tell you're solid. I'm not really that concerned about it. I know that you're solid. You're not running on empty. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him in your daily life. Okay? Protect your credibility, yes. But be happy. Rooted and built up in him and established in your faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Always be thankful, you know? And thank God for everything, even the very air you breathe. Well, it's free. Yeah, he made it that way. So thank him for it, okay? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain, there's the word, empty deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, that's the elements, the evilness of the world, and not after Christ. Boy, they can lay it on you. They can lay it on you thick like a three-layer cake. Just pretty her up, round her out, put flowers on it, and some people will buy it. Well, did it match with God's word? No. Then, well, why am I receiving it then? Well, you shouldn't be. It's got to match with God's word or it doesn't fit. It doesn't fly. All it is vain philosophy. And speaking of these rudiments, that word in the Greek is stonkion. What it means is, it quite frankly is the same as in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Do you know what's destroyed by fire when God returns? It's the elements, these rudiments. It's just the wickedness. If you're not wicked, no Bernie. Okay. You're home free. God loves you. But if you're part of that wicked rudiment, that element, you're out of here for a while, okay? Don't listen to empty, vain deceit. You know, this may surprise you, but some men get on ego trips, okay? You give them a platform and have thousands of people supporting that platform. If you're not careful, they get to thinking highly of themselves, okay? And not giving God the credit, for all things come from God, okay? Without God, you got nothing, okay? If you have the ability to teach, it comes from God. It's His gift, not yours. Well, but I have it. No, you don't. He loans it to you, okay? And all gifts are given without repentance. You're stuck with it, okay? I've heard preachers say, well, I just think God has taken my gift. And it shows their ignorance. They're not really ministers of God, or they would know all gifts are given without repentance. He's going to hang you to it, and He's going to beat you one way or the other if you have that responsibility until you come back to it. Whether you say, Father, I have sinned, don't worry, He'll get around to correcting you and you'll come back to it. Every gift is given without repentance. So beware of men that come with vain philosophies and traditions of men that make void or make empty the Word of God. Doesn't mean anything to you if you follow that tradition. It's got to be God's Word. It's got to be, you've got to understand the mystery in which He sent to you for your understanding and edification. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You don't need anything else. He's it. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. There is no other principality and power. There's one that likes to be. He calls himself Satan. He calls himself Lucifer. He calls himself the Antichrist. And boy, does he like to deceive people. He truly does. Okay, skip one book. First Thessalonians, skip Second Thessalonians, skip First Timothy, and come to Second Timothy. And I like chapter 2. Let's stick with it. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's pick it up with verse 15. What does it say? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Can you do that? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know what it means to rightly divide the word of truth? It means to divide it. Who is it talking to? Who was it written to? What time period is it? Does it affect Israel or Judah? And the gain for all of the Gentile and everyone, how does it pull that in? That's rightly dividing the word, okay? So that you know and understand. You pay attention. Therefore, you know what the subject and the object, being what God wants to gain from it. That's why you study, to show yourself approved. Now, did it say to study the manual of 2-4-8 cornered church down here on the corner? It didn't say that. It said study the Word of God, this Word, to show yourself approved. But I like manuals. You've got one. This is it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can master it, you're going to be something. You're really going to be something. Just do the best you can with it and know God will lead you, okay? 16. But shun. You know what the word shun means? Stay away from. But shun profane and vain. They're an empty. Empty. Kinoa. Okay. To even make empty. Vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Hey, we're just getting started, friend. The end times are on us. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. You're going to hear all kinds of things. Rightly divide the word of God and stick with it. For he is the full and the only Godhead. He's in charge. And if you allow yourself to follow them, that's what brings forth the wrath of God. You don't need that. You need his love. And their word will eat as doth a canker. That's gangrene. Have you ever seen gangrene grow? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Misleading people. God doesn't appreciate that. Stick with the word, rightly dividing it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It's on solid rock, okay? Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the way it is. How do I depart from iniquity? Well, from false teaching. From people misleading you. From philosophies of men that make void the word of God, their traditions. Stick with the word. You know, it's really very simple. All you have to do, find the object, find the article, and see what God's purpose is. What does he intend to accomplish by that scripture? And don't let some other person stick something in that doesn't belong. Rightly divide the word of God, not some man's input. Okay. That's extremely important. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from those persons that mislead, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Okay? Can he use you? You see, if you don't rightly divide the word and you kind of have a little working knowledge in it, hey, do you expect him to use you when you don't know what you're doing? Let me ask you that one more time. If you're not well-founded and studied in the Word, and I'm not telling you you got to be a scholar now, but just have a working knowledge, then he can use you to plant seeds. But if you don't even have a working knowledge in his Word, oh, but brother, I studied at the Joe Johnson's University of Life. Well, what'd they teach there? Everything. Did they teach the Bible? No. Well, that's bad. Okay. It's got to be his word. And you got to stick with it. Okay. You got to know that then God can use you. Otherwise, hey, forget it. Okay. He can't. I suppose on running empty, I could think of one thing I want to close with. It's in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Study to show thyself approved. We're getting deep here. Okay, I want to go to chapter 12, I think. Yes, I do. I should have known I had my red string there. Just like that. I came here for a purpose. Do you know what happens when you leave your house empty? When some people that are weak can be possessed, okay, of evil and familiar spirits. There's not one behind every bush, but there are evil spirits. We have, well, I don't even want to go there, but they're out there, okay? And Jesus gives us a warning here in verse 43 of this 12th chapter. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when you order him out in the name of Christ, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He's looking. This is why if you ever practice this, you don't let him walk around. You send him back where he came from. You order him back where he came from, the wicked spirit. And that way God destroys it. You don't let him walk around. Okay. But if you do, here he goes. He's out of that man. That man is clean. Okay. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. There's no Christ there. There's no truth there. That evil spirit is looking for a place. Boy, has he found one. And I mean, you talk about one miserable life that's about to happen. This is one of the ultimate reasons you never want to be empty. What does he do? In other words, if you ever help someone with an unfamiliar spirit, make sure you put Christ in that one. You lead them to Christ. Or it's going to be worse for them than before. Let them love Almighty God. Study to show themselves approved with the light, not emptiness. 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. It's going to get worse instead of better, dear ones. That's why you never want to run on empty. Okay. And by that, naturally, I mean, have the Spirit of God in you. Trust Him, love Him, follow Him, and let Him bless you. He indeed will. Always remember, God loves and respects and grants knowledge and wisdom to those that love Him. That's what He wants from you, is your love. Don't ever forget to let Him know that you do love Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve You, Father. Be with this family. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father, in Thy holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.